water down here. My name is Dustin Langang, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dustin!
Been sober due to the grace of God, Alcoholics Anonymous, and meetings like this since December 7th of 2001. My sponsor told me to be humble right before I got up here, so thanks a lot and have a great night. Usually, you know, when you speak, you're told to talk. It's going to happen a lot tonight. Talk in a general way, what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. And for me, like Leah, first, thank Leah and Gary for doing a great job. And thanks to Kenny for asking me to share. But just like them, you know, for me, I always felt like I was playing catch up all the time. You know, got to have what he has, got to be with her, got to have that car, got to have those fat crayons, you know, whatever it was. I always needed something else because what I had never seemed good enough. And as a result of working with the sponsor and stuff, I know now that I was comparing my insides and how I felt to other people's outsides. And I never measured up, ever. I always came up short. And I always had to go above and beyond, you know, to try to get that attention, to try to fit in, to try to get people to like me for whatever reason, you know. Leah talked a lot about stealing, and I was stealing at a young age, you know. Whatever I could, you know, whether it was tomatoes out of my neighbor's garden and then throwing them at his house or whatever, you know. And I seemed, you know, we were up in International Falls, me and a few guys, not too long ago, and something hit me up there that that makes a lot of sense, you know. I think that from early on, I knew right from wrong. I knew what the difference was, you know. I just made the decision all the time to do the wrong thing, because it seems like I got more attention, I got treated differently, I got treated the way I felt like I should when I did the wrong thing, you know. People seem to pay more attention to the kid who vandalized stuff and stole stuff and broke stuff and lied, you know. I had some stiff competition. I got a sister who's 3 years younger than me, and she's the perfect kid, you know. And I had to be really, really bad because I had to, you know, I don't know, I did. So I did. And it worked, you know, for a long time. It got me the attention. That's what it did for me. But I don't remember when I started doing drugs or anything like that. I just remember the first time that I drank. A little bit about my childhood. My home was very alcoholic once I started drinking. And before that, it was very normal, you know, other than the stealing tomatoes and trying to break into my own house and denying it, having the cops called on me and then breaking down into tears when the policeman showed up and pulled out his handcuffs. I did it. It was me. You know, I don't want to go to jail. I was like 10. I don't know. But my family was very normal, very, you know, two kids, dog, very normal, and it killed me, you know, it killed me. And into my drinking, I always wanted to be abused as a kid or wanted to be, you know, adopted or something that I can point my finger and say, that is why I am the way I am, because I didn't know why. I didn't know why alcohol and drugs did for me what they did. I don't know why alcohol made me feel 10 times cooler than I knew I was, and why alcohol made me feel 10 times smarter and made me drive better and think harder and do better in school and you know, all that stuff. But I started drinking. The first time I remember that I drank to get drunk, it's a real common situation, hanging out with some older guys. One of the kids was actually a boy that used to whoop my butt. Every day after school, we'd get off the bus, and he'd just totally womp me right down on the end of the street, and I'd go home crying, you know. And when I was 12 years old, him and another buddy of mine, they wanted to get drunk. I didn't know. Oh, okay, you know, let's get some liquor. I thought, this is cool because they're in a good mood. I'm in a good mood. I'm not getting beat up right now, so this is good. This is working out all right. And I happened, you know, I did a lot of drugs too. And that day I happened to take a handful of mini thins, which are like ephedrine pills or whatever. And I was already buzzed by the time the booze got there, you know. And some hot damn and some peppermint schnapps showed up and had my little tumbler with Coke and hot damn, and I drank that down, and I remember the feeling. It just, all my cares, all my insecurities, everything just went away, you know. It was definitely an eye-opener for me. You know, I realized that this is good, and there's nothing bad that can come of this, you know. And I grew up in a Catholic home. We went to church Saturdays. First time I got drunk was on a Saturday, so it's 3:30. I have to ride my bike home. So I jump on my bike, and I'm rolling through the trail going to my house, and the wind was extra crisp, and it was just the sun was very warm, and it felt great, you know. And I was so busy thinking about how good I felt that I ran right into my garage door. Boom. Wiped out, you know. And I'm like, I need to get a grip, you know. You're drunk. You're really drunk. You know, you're on some kind of pills. You just get a grip, you know. So I go inside, and I'm like excited for church, you know, which is like my parents knew right away, what's up with this kid, you know. So I'm like, let's go, let's get in the wagon, we gotta roll. So we get in the station wagon, and which happened to be the first car I got in sobriety, by the way, just remembered that. But we get in the wagon, and I get in the back seat, and I just got really dizzy, got really car sick, and I'm just looking around. And the last thing I remember seeing was the Silver Dollar Bar, and I'm from Mandan. And if you've been to Mandan, you know about the Silver Dollar Bar. And I look up, and it's like 2 blocks south of my church. I see this bar everywhere, you know, and both my parents are like hound dogs. They're, I know what it's from. What? You know, I was like, what is it from? Tell me. You know, I don't know why I'm sick. I'm not supposed to get sick. I felt good 2 seconds ago. What's going on? But they turned around, took me home, and my dad threshold carried me downstairs, laid me in a chair, and put a blanket over me and tucked me in, and I was just shaking. You know, I don't know what was going on. And he said, I hope you learned your lesson. And I looked up at him, and I'll never drink again. And at the time, I meant it, but then they left, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I forgot all about it. I don't remember being hungover. I don't remember being sick. I didn't remember how crappy I felt right before I fell asleep. I don't remember the feelings of my parents' disappointment. I didn't remember any of that. I didn't make a decision that I wanted to get drunk all the time right away, but I just didn't remember feeling bad. And I knew that I had a really good time for that hour and a half or 2 hours right before I threw up. And my whole life has kind of been like that. Like, if I can have 2 hours of fun for a half hour of puking, I'm going to do it. It's worth it to me in my book, you know. But everything progressed after that, you know. I don't remember really trying to get alcohol probably for another year. I was 13, and we're trying to get booze. And luckily I had that bachelor next door neighbor guy who's willing to pick up a bottle of vodka or Brass Monkey, whatever we want to drink, you know. Me and my buddy Ryan, we'd go over there, we can buy some booze, you know. We got, like, change in our pocket. Like, we just need a 175, you know, and whatever. And he'd be, like, looking around. I didn't get it for you. And he'd go. And then we'd get drunk, you know. We'd get liquor, we'd get drunk. And this was a beautiful night, too. This is probably the first alcoholic moment I had. We got our 175 at Brass Monkey, and we both had dirt bikes, and we were going back to the hills where we rode dirt bike, and we're going to hide it there till tomorrow, because this was like a Thursday night or something, and we're going to get drunk on the weekend. And got back there, and we're like, oh, let's just take a little drink now, you know. So we did. We cracked it open, and like a half hour later, we're walking around, and we're just like, dude, we don't have any booze for tomorrow, you know. Just wasted on a Thursday night. But it was beautiful, you know, and that's how I drank. I never saved anything, you know. People to me that were like, that wouldn't give me a shot of their whiskey because they wanted to save some for tomorrow, I just hated, you know. It's like, you don't need it for tomorrow. I need it right now, tonight, you know. Let's get drunk. Let's do this, you know. I've always had a problem. I was always the class clown. I always had a problem with authority, and I came up with a really good analogy for it, and my sponsor told me I could say it tonight, so... for me, authority, like, perfect example, I walk into a restroom and there's a sign on the stall that says, please do not urinate on the toilet seat. Simple enough. So I don't urinate on the toilet seat. There's a sign up there that says, please do not urinate on the toilet seat. Thank you, management. I'm peeing all over the bathroom. You know, the heater's getting it. The toilet's getting it. The roll of toilet paper, the floor, everything. It's like, who's this management guy think he is, you know? I'm going to get him. So that's kind of how it was for me. You know, teachers, I went to recess too, much like Gary did. And then I got sent in early a lot. I never had to copy words out of the dictionary or anything, but I just had to sit by the wall and wait for the other kids to come in. Went to a Catholic grade school, not the nun kind of Catholic grade school, but just the, you know, you be a good person kind of school. And I didn't like it, you know. It really clashed with my style a lot. And kind of a funny thing, I went to grade school with two other Dustins. So this whole anonymity thing is pretty cool because I've been Dustin L since I was like 5, you know. It was funny. I don't know. So anyway, I was drinking, and I did a lot of drugs too. And I know this is an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but I was a tweaker. And if there's anybody here that's a tweaker, two things I got to say. There's no cameras behind the balloons, and there's nobody behind the green curtain. You're safe here. You're all right, you know. Some of that stuff is hard to shake, you know. Every time I come in here, I just kind of look. And, yeah. But I did a lot of drugs, you know. That was the thing to do. The people that I wanted to be like, the people that I hung out with, they drank all the time. They did a lot of drugs. And that was cool for me, you know. And I made the decision probably sometime in junior high that I don't need to be anything else except for the cool guy, you know. I don't need to try hard in school because I'm just naturally intelligent. I don't need to try hard to get the girlfriend because I'm just naturally good looking, you know. I have all these natural talents, so I can focus all my energy on drinking and forget about everything else. And that's what happened. I totally forgot about everything else. In high school, I was the guy that... you know, once I found out how well alcohol worked, I wanted to get a head start. Everybody was very happy when school got out, so I wanted to be happier. So I'd skip my last class and start getting drunk in the parking lot, you know. Everybody come out, woo, it's Friday, we're out of school. I'd be like, yeah, no, let's go, you know, we're going to party. But I skipped a lot of school. I didn't go. My junior and senior year, I think I had like 160 absences combined. I got through school with – I ended with a 2.5, and my last year was like a 1.7. So you do the math, that's where alcohol took me. You know, I quit caring. And alcohol fixed everything. I get in a fight with my friend, we get drunk later. You know, I get in a fight with my girlfriend, get drunk, forget about it. She'd be back the next day. It really did work. It honestly did. And I didn't have issues. I didn't have the insecurities. I didn't have the fear. I didn't have the... what am I going to do about this problem, you know? And like I said, any little amount of trouble I got into was worth it. It was definitely worth it. Got in trouble when I was 16, my first minor. Another authority story. Cop comes down, and we got about 130 people down along the river and busts our party up. And he writes me out a citation for minor in consumption, so... figure he got me for the night. He's going to leave me alone. So I sit on top of the hood of his cruiser, and put my feet on his bumper and light up a cigarette. Not a good idea if you're 16 years old. He came over and told me what he thought of that and gave me another citation for minor possession of tobacco. And I got really upset, and he handcuffed me and threw me in the back of his car. And that was my first lesson in if you be nice, they'll be nice to you with the law. But I got arrested a lot. I got put on probation since I was like 15 or 16. I had a probation officer, a counselor that I went to go see who would tell me to try things like not hanging out with old friends and tell me, why can't you just not drink? Why can't you just go to your parties and not drink? And I would tell her I would, you know, sitting there up for like 7 days, getting ready to go drink, got booze in my car, and I'm just like... I will tonight, you know, I'll try it. And I was like, she's probably right. This would probably work for me. And I'd go, the minute I leave her door, I'd forget it, you know. I mean, there's nothing about getting sober in my books. There's nothing about quitting drinking. I don't have a problem, you know. Everybody else has a problem. My mom and dad love me too much. Or the cops pick on me. They know my car. They're after me. The cameras in the balloons, you know. They're out to get me. I mean, I seriously thought the world was out to get me. But what alcohol did was it made me forget about that, and it helped me to be at ease, you know, all the time. I've heard it said before, but I'm going to say it again, that taking a drink of alcohol is probably the most spiritual experience that I've ever had. get all shaky thinking about it, because really, the way I feel right now, I know it'll go away in a heartbeat. All I got to do is take a drink. Gone, you know. I'm okay, I'm comfortable. But the problems still, problems keep building up, you know. I'm not a real, I don't believe in bottoms at all. You know, you hear about people hitting rock bottom and stuff. And I think if you're still alive and breathing, I don't think you've hit rock bottom. That's my opinion only. But my low point, I was, I got in a lot of trouble, a lot of jail time, prison time, hanging over my head. I never went to prison, but my PO finally had enough. I got another minor in consumption when I was 20, after countless drug tests failed, countless eye tests. I couldn't even follow a pen, and I'd be 3 days sober going into Sear. I've been clean for days. I'm all right. Follow this pen. Where's it at? You know, what are you doing? And, so yeah, so she's finally had enough. She's like, you're done. Sick of wasting my time on you. You can't be helped, you know. You're not staying sober. You're not doing anything to help yourself. You're going to go to prison. And I threw probably one of my best alcoholic fits. I wish I had it on tape. I would love to see it again. To try to convince her that I don't belong in prison, you know. I'm 20 years old. I got a minor. Come on, you know. I'm going to get my butt kicked in prison. Some little punks get some. I mean, there's people that murder people in there. I just drank, you know. Not a big deal, I didn't think. So she did. She agreed to let me go to treatment, and that's how I ended up down here in Fargo. And I was going through treatment, and I got a sponsor before I even came to AA, and she took really good care of me for the first few months. My current roommate, Brent, would always ask me, he'd be like, you need to get a sponsor. You know, what are you going to do when that falls through? We love each other, you know. It's not going to fall through. Don't worry about it. And sure enough, it did, and I was broke. You know, I made a couple bad choices and took off to a casino. And me being the responsible, sobering alcoholic that I am, I called the share house to let them know I was going to the casino. And they didn't think that was a good idea either, but I did it anyway. And I came back, and they wanted to kick me out. So I reenacted my fit in front of my PO with them and called Mom. Mommy, they're going to do bad things to me. Help me. And and she did. She talked to the man, and the man lightened up a little bit. But they set out a list of things for me to do, and one of those things was get a sponsor. I didn't know I needed a sponsor. I didn't know it was part of the requirement to be sober. You know, I really didn't. And so I did. And this guy come in to talk to the share house one night. He's talking really fast. And this is such a bad story. Do not pick a sponsor because you think he can get you drugs. Just don't, you know. I'm probably like one of the rare cases where it worked out. But Paul came in and he was rambling. And I was like, if I ever want to use again, this guy's got the hookup. So I asked him to be my sponsor, and he's like, you do a few simple things. You know, you go to my home group, and we meet once a week, and you go to three meetings a week, and you call me before you drink. And I'm, okay, good enough, you know. Bought me a big book, and told me to read around it, whatever. He's like, we'll start going through this pretty soon. And I was working at a job at the time that I had a lot of downtime, a lot of dead time. It was a customer service job for a bank in this town that should remain anonymous. And I was sitting there with my headset on and had a lot of downtime, and I'm reading this book, and I got through the whole big book, front cover to back cover, 2 days. My sponsor's going to really be proud of me now. I made it through the whole big book. I'm done, you know. Graduated. I read the book. I got it. And I didn't get it at all. There's a lot of interesting stories in there, something about some guy getting drunk and walking in front of a car or jaywalking or I don't know. There's something like that in there, you know. I didn't remember any of it. I just thought, read the book because then I'm done, you know. It's like school assignment. I read the book, I'm done. But no, I went up to him and told him that, and he's like, no, I'm going to read the book to you when we meet. Oh, okay, you know. So we started doing that, and we started going through the book, and I started learning a lot about myself, you know, by telling him my problems. You know, Paul, I'm having a fight with my girlfriend. What do I do? Well, you've been fighting with her a lot. Why don't you just break up with her? Your life would probably be a lot better. But Paul, I love her, you know. I really do, you know. And he wouldn't have it. He'd be like, well, I'm not even going to talk to you about it anymore. Deal with it, you know. And I went through a lot of pain over that. because I was doing my thing, you know, taking the will into my hands. I had a sponsor who was giving me great suggestions, saving my life, doing his best to pull me out of the crap pile that I had laid myself into, and I wouldn't have it, you know. I still thought that my way was the best way, and I still do a lot of times today. Not just sometimes, but a lot of times, you know. It seems like anything Kelvin sponsors me now, and it seems like anything he tells me, just the hair on my back, the like three pieces that there are, stand up, and I just was like, Kelvin, no! Then he gives me the look like, you're going to get drunk if you don't do it. Oh, all right, you know. And I end up doing it. You know, it goes, I'm being a good person, being helpful, being honest, being, you know, geez, I stole stuff in sobriety. My first job, I worked at a hotel that should remain anonymous here in Fargo. I stole 36 sets of silverware. The worst part about it is the box of knives that I stole wasn't full. So when I had to take them back to make amends, here's a full box of forks, full box of spoons, and half a box of knives. You know, I don't have them at home. I'm serious, you know, like this is all I took. And they kind of looked at me and I was expecting to get fired and whatever, you know. But they didn't. They didn't take away my key. They didn't do anything. They said, if you need something, just ask and we'll help you out. Blew me away. Absolutely. I stole from these people and they're like, just ask. And I was like, well, can I have some steaks? <You know? laughs> I don't have any food at home, you know. But that's the kind of things that this program has done for me, you know. I can still screw up. I can steal. I can lie. I can do all that stuff because that's me. That's what I've trained myself to be. That's my defense mechanisms. That's what keeps me from letting you guys inside. Because inside here, I'm scared. I'm terrified, you know. You find out what's really going on in my life, and you're going to just disown me. You know, you're not going to want to be my friend. You're not going to want to sponsor me anymore. You're not going to want to be my sponsee brother. You're not going to want to be my roommate. You're not going to want to be my girlfriend, whatever, you know. You're not going to want me working for you anymore. I have defense mechanisms that I have spent years perfecting, and they work so well to normal people, you know. But that's the beauty of this thing. I come in here in this room, and you guys all see right through it. You all know what's going on in my life. You all know when I'm having an off day, having an on day. You know how to help, you know. I can't help myself. I'm an alcoholic, and I love to drink alcohol. I love to steal. I love to lie. I love to manipulate, you know. I don't know how to stop. I can't, you know, I didn't until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know that when you have a bad day, all it takes is a candy bar to get through it, you know. These are keys that your sponsor will tell you, so get a sponsor and you get to eat chocolate. And the story behind that, I'm going to tell that story too because Zach hasn't given me any cards in the last couple minutes. So I was just upset one day and I was in the car and I was just complaining to Kelvin. I was using a lot of bad language, and why won't any of my sponsees listen? They're all getting drunk, and what's going on? And it's just, I hate life. And he just looks at me. Here's the deal, Dustin. He says, here's what I want you to do. I said, okay. What do you want me to do? He said, go to the store and buy two of your favorite candy bars. And I said, Big Cat, Kit Kat. I know that. I got an answer. Okay. So far, so good. Eat one of them, and then I want you to think of 10 things you're grateful for. And then you can eat the other one, you know. So I did, and I tear into the first candy bar. I'm like, I feel good. Yeah, I'm grateful for blah, 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 blah. You know, my mom, my sister, eight things. I got eight things, and I was out. I was out of things to be grateful for. I was so mad because that candy bar was sitting right there. It's like, two more things. And then the light turned green. I was like, God, I'm grateful for the green light, and I'm grateful I got air in my tires. Done, you know. But it works. It really works. You know, I quit thinking about myself. I quit thinking about my problems. It really worked. I was really amazed. I have yet to tell that to one of my guys yet either. I don't know. They're the sick model sponsees, Leah, that you're talking about. But I don't know. This thing is amazing. I would not have the things I have today inside in here, you know. Because when I came into the program, I thought everything else was messed up. I thought everybody else had the problem. But I found out that I'm sick. I'm very sick. And this is where I get well, you know. It's like a diabetic needing insulin. You know, you guys, this meeting, other meetings, my sponsor, that's my insulin. That's what keeps me in check. That's what keeps my mind and my body flowing regularly, you know. I don't think I'd necessarily have a seizure and die if I quit coming to meetings, but so what's the difference, you know? We all know how this disease can get us, you know. And if you don't, grab somebody, ask them to be your sponsor, and they'll tell you how it'll work, you know. This disease not only tells me that if I drink, I'll be okay, but it tells me that if I drink more, I'm going to be even better. And I know now that it's true, but it's only temporary, you know. I have a permanent problem, and I need a permanent solution. And in 8 or 9 years of drinking and using and abusing and raping and pillaging, I have yet to find a permanent answer. No probation officer has ever helped me. No counselor has ever helped me. No teacher, my parents, you know. None of that. Why do you do this? None of that. Why don't you quit? None of that. You need to cut back. None of that. You know, this is your 17th car you've wrecked this week. None of that worked. I have never, I don't know. It just doesn't. It didn't for me. I'm an alcoholic, and this is where I belong. If I want a shot at doing things right in the world. And I think back, you know, like right when I started out, I said that, you know, you have a list of things you want to be when you grow up and you know right from wrong. And I never didn't want the good things in life. I always wanted the good things in life. You know, I was so into myself and into my alcoholism that I didn't care to try to achieve them. And Alcoholics Anonymous has given me the means to do it, you know. Gary talked about the book. I have it. It's right there. That's my manual for living, you know. I got someone who knows the book better than me to tell me how to explain it to me, you know, who makes me look up words in the dictionary if I don't know them. But that's what's worked for me, you know. I have a great job today. I have a car that drives. I have friends that care. I have a family that loves. And as I'm doing pretty good for myself too, I'm able to do all that stuff for other people. And I don't know, it's all new to me, and I'm learning more every day, so I'm going to keep coming back. If that'll pass.